From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his fourth in a series of messages expounding Isaiah chapter 53. The title of this message is Christ Despised and Rejected. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, God Can Make You Strong. The text is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 7. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. God had done great things for King Asa and Judah, but yet they were a feeble folk. Their feet were very tottering in the ways of the Lord, and their hearts very hesitating, so that they had to be warned that the Lord would be with them while they were with him, but that if they forsook him, he would leave them. They were also reminded of the sister kingdom, how ill it fared in its rebellion, and how the Lord was gracious to it when repentance was shown. The Lord's design was to confirm them in his way and make them strong in righteousness. So ought it to be with us. God deserves to be served with all the energy of which we are capable. If the service of God is worth anything, it is worth everything. We shall find our best reward in the Lord's work if we do it with determined diligence. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord, and we know it. Half-hearted work will bring no reward. But when we throw our whole soul into the cause, we shall see prosperity. This text was sent to the author of these notes in a day of terrible storm, and it suggested to him to put on all steam with the assurance of reaching port in safety with a glorious freight.
Servants now seek a fresh glimpse of your face.
Your loving eyes restore our vision. Your mighty acts deserve our praise.
Burning fires that were once desires return again through your grace. Keep the race before us.
Keep our hearts turned toward the prize.
With patience and endurance, the cross standing firm in our eyes. Keep the race before us,
and reward us, Lord, by your grace.
With crowns of righteousness from the righteous judge, when we finish the race. For courage to face our struggles each day. Fears of the past shall not last if we faithful stay.
Let your passion consume us as to the truth we hold.
With our calling so sure, victory secure, steadfast we press to the goal. Keep the race before us.
keep our hearts turned toward the prize.
With patience and endurance, the cross standing firm in our eyes. Keep the race before us,
and reward us, Lord, by your grace.
With crowns of righteousness from the righteous judge, when we finish the race. The cross standing firm in our eyes.
I am here with our hearts,
and reward us, Lord, by your grace. With crowns of righteousness from the righteous judge. When we have finished the race.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy.
Thank you.
In this series of studies in Isaiah chapter 53, Dr. Cairns continues an exposition of verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Again, we see man's treatment of Christ. Carrying the theme of verses 1 and 2 on, this verse reveals more of the natural man's hatred of the Lord Jesus. Ironically, Christ is rejected by those who need him the most. Dr. Cairns began the message by examining the various terms contained in the verse. The sorrows of Christ relate not only to his physical suffering, but to his anguish of soul over the awful sinfulness of the human race. He was acquainted with grief in ways that we'll never comprehend. Now to continue this message entitled, Christ Despised and Dismissed, here is Dr. Cairns.
Christ sorrowful, a man of sorrows. There's a wealth of truth in that little phrase. It is as if the prophet were saying that when you look at Jesus Christ in his humiliation on the earth, the one thing that marked him more than any other was sorrow. It has often been noted by commentators and preachers as you read through the gospel narratives that there is never one occasion where you have the slightest indication that even a smile ever creased the face of Jesus Christ. There's never one occasion where there was the slightest attempt at levity. In fact, it is only noted that he rejoiced in spirit, but never in any other way. There never was any physical demonstration of happiness, not because in himself and in his success he had no reason to be joyful. Ultimately, he is the king of all joy. But as he walked among men, he was walking as the Lamb. He was walking as the sin-bearer. He was walking as the deliverer from death. He was walking among men as the one who was going down into the pit as the ransom to deliver them from the pit. And yet as he did so, he found men willfully and willingly in the grip of the devil. He found men playing with the fire of sin and with the fire of hell as if they were but toys. He found men who had their face set to go to destruction. He found men candidates for hell and seemingly happy about it. And that was no cause for joy. The man of sorrows. The reality of those sorrows is found in the word man. Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. But it is one of the great theological truths of the Word of God that God, the eternal deity, cannot be made to suffer. Think of that. Theologians call it the impassibility of God, coming from a Latin verb that means to suffer. God cannot be made to suffer. No creature can ever inflict loss on eternal deity. No creature can ever wound the essence of eternal Godhood. But Jesus Christ is not only God, he is God in human flesh. He took a true humanity. And while I would be ever wanting to uphold the deity of Christ, I think we ought never to lose sight of the reality of Christ's humanity. His flesh was real flesh. His human nature was real human nature. His human mind was a real human mind. His human will was a real human will. And all the sensibilities of humanity were real in Christ. Therefore, when we read that he was the man of sorrows, we are learning of the reality that every pain and pang and heartbreak that the human being is capable of enduring was endured by Jesus Christ. He is the man of sorrows. Not the man simply of a sorrow or of a great sorrow, but he is the man of all sorrows. The variety of the sorrows, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. Jesus Christ willingly subjected himself to every kind of grief and sorrow. And the extremity, he is the man of sorrows, who could say, in the words that were put into a personification of Jerusalem, the mouth of Jerusalem personified in Lamentations 1, but they truly belong to Christ. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Then the invitation to come and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. When I read that verse, I think more of the one who died outside Jerusalem than of Jerusalem itself. I see a cross on Golgotha's brow, and from that cross the voice of the Son of God booms forth. Is it nothing to you? Will you not look and see? There never has been sorrow like my sorrow. The man of sorrows. And then acquainted with grief. The idea there is of Christ's suffering. The word grief has in it the notion of pain. To be acquainted with grief is to know pain. And the pain that is described in this term is especially mental anguish because of some great overwhelming concern or sorrow. The mental anguish, the pain, not just physically, but mentally. I think that there are holy things that we can never enter into. There are things that are only hinted at in Scripture, and God refuses to draw back the veil. One of them concerns the mind of Jesus Christ. You think of Christ in Gethsemane. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. That's symptomatic of tremendous conflict. There's a lot of discussion about his prayer, where he asked the Father if he'd be willing to let this cup pass from him. Many people believe it was the humanity of Christ naturally feeling that the cross was repulsive and saying, if there's another way. Others come up with various other explanations. Certainly the humanity of Christ was deeply disturbed by some great anguish. I personally believe that Gethsemane was hell's last attempt to stop the Son of God from going to Calvary. Any other death but the death of the cross would have been totally unsuccessful and totally a defeat for Jesus Christ. Had he died as a babe when Herod saw him, it would not have been an atoning death. Had he died when the crowd at Nazareth thought they would throw him over the cliff face, at the beginning of his ministry, he would not have died an atoning death. Had he been slammed by the devil in Gethsemane, he would not have died an atoning death. That death of the cross was the only death where, in a voluntary sacrifice for sin, when his life was not taken from him, but given up by him, to be taken again by sovereign power in the resurrection. That was the only death that could ever atone for sin. I believe that in Gethsemane,
All hell was let loose to stop Christ from ever getting to the cross. Normally, if you sweat blood, you're a dead man. You'll not live through it. There in the garden, as all hell was let loose in an awful assault upon the Son of God, there was that awful battle in the mind. Can you imagine? Well, maybe that's a stupid question, for there's no way we could imagine, but can at least we catch a glimmer of the truth? What it must have been for the sinless, unspotted, unsoiled mind of the Son of God to have the hiss of the serpent. Can you hear the temptation of the devil that God has given you up? Your work is a failure. Your nearest disciples are the best they can do is to sleep. I have got this world in a grip that will take it to hell, and you'll never set them free. Can you hear every foul insinuation from the old serpent, the devil? There is great mental affliction, great mental turmoil. I know that happened because the New Testament tells me that his soul was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. The New Testament tells me that he had a great amazement. And those words all combine to speak of a tremendous weight of satanic oppression. They speak of a mighty mental depression. They speak of a conflict that went to the very root and heart of the being of the God-man, Jesus Christ. Christ despised, rejected, the man of sorrows, acquainted, not in a nodding acquaintance, but in a deep personal knowledge, acquainted with grief. And then, Christ solitary, we hid our faces from him. I want you to think of what that means. We hid our faces. Now this is speaking of what actually happened in the ministry of Christ and especially at the death of Christ. The next verses immediately take up the theme of his death. We hid our faces. There was no sympathy. Sitting down, they watched him there. But not with any feeling of sympathy. They mocked him there. When he cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. They knew quite well. I mean, it wouldn't take you to be a scholar in either Hebrew or Aramaic to know that he was crying, my God. But they turned even. The heartfelt cry, the central cry of the seven from the cross, they turned that most solemn moment into a joke, and they cried, saying, he's calling upon Elias. Let's see if Elias will come to his aid. No sympathy. Christ solitary. It was alone. Utterly, absolutely alone that Jesus Christ died. Here then are the terms of the text.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.